I believe is called the Olivet Discourse. It's about the end of the world. I've had a lot of people asking me lately about the end of the world. And they want to know what does the Bible say about the end of the world. I think that's interesting. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure why it's become a topic of interest at this moment. But anyway, I think it's a very good subject. And I just have one little thing here I want to point out. I'm going to be reading in Matthew chapter 24, starting in verse 37. It says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." I want to focus on that phrase, "they knew not," until it was too late. They knew not. You want a title for my message? I know that some people want that. They want to say, what is the title of your message? I would say it's "Blindsided by the Judgment." They weren't aware. Well, what's happening? All of a sudden, we're being judged. Boom! And it came on so suddenly, there was nothing they could do. It took them all away. Not one of them escaped. The only ones that made it were the ones that were forewarned and were inside the ark. And they had been in the ark for a week. I wonder if anybody in that neighborhood said, "Have you noticed that they're holed up inside that ark? Have you noticed they closed that door and they're stuck up inside? There's been a whole week. What do you think might be happening?" Well, it's not me. I'm not here trying to judge them why they were so ignorant. I feel like maybe it's trying to say you should have known better or you should have had some inkling, but I'm not absolutely sure that that's the case. I realize that Noah was called a preacher of righteousness. And I assume that he also allowed people to know what God had informed him, that the days of man were going to be 120 years and that he was going to send a judgment, a flood. And Noah was building a huge barge. He was building an ark, and not at the ocean, not on a dock, a ramp where he could have just launched it. It was out in the middle of the land. And he kept on him, if he was telling people, you know, what God, if he was a prophet and was telling people what God had told him, he would have been saying something like, "Water is going to fall out of the sky," and they hadn't seen rain before. And that's interesting, isn't it? I don't know how the world got along without rain. Boy, I could use rain. We got an inch and a half the other day, and I thank the Lord for that. That was just such a blessing. But I could use another inch and a half, and maybe an inch and a half a week for a few months. We need rain. I don't know how they got along without rain, but suppose the earth was plenty lush with plenty of water. The dew gave it water all that it needed all the time. And they had never seen rain, and here's some preacher out there building a boat in the middle of nowhere and saying, "It's going to rain, it's going to rain." And they probably didn't even have a word for rain. That might have been kind of hard to believe. I can see why some people might have been blindsided by that. I mean, how am I supposed to believe this guy? I mean, we get conspiracy theorists all the time telling us such and such a thing or such and such another thing. I mean, who knows? I don't know who to believe. And you know the government lies to you, right? And you know that the pharmaceutical companies lie to you, don't you? And you know they're lying on the advertisements on television, right? And you know that all the news programs are lying to you. And you know politicians lie, right? Well, who are you supposed to believe? Did you know that preachers lie? Did you know that preachers have ulterior motives? Did you know you can't trust every priest? And you can't trust every preacher? And you can't trust every guru? And you can't trust every influencer out there? You know, it's like saying you know something's true because you read it on the internet. Well, that's just foolish. You can't believe everything you read on the internet. Who are you supposed to believe? You've got one guy saying the world is going to end and somebody else saying, no, it's going to be fine. Well, you have to choose between those two. And what if you choose wrong? Will you show up to the day of judgment and you weren't aware?
Yeah.
Have you ever had a light bulb moment?
Yeah.
Where you were just sure of something, then all of a sudden something happened or some little piece of information you were missing came clear, and all of a sudden you realized, oh, wow. Sort of like that large mouth frog. What do? He said, well, I eat large mouth frogs. Ooh. I'm no longer, you know, I'm telling you, that's a bad illustration. I'm sorry. You've had a light bulb moment, haven't you? Where you realized, wow, I was not aware of that. And now that I'm aware of that, I've changed my mind. I've changed my opinion. Well, what if your light bulb moment came when the rain's falling? Then all of a sudden, then you realize. It's sort of like those people over there that get to the judgment and they say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We did all these things in your name. And he says, I don't know you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You've never been washed in the blood. You never came to me sincerely. You never were mine. I don't care what kind of tongues you spoke. I don't care how many times you went to church. I don't care how many times you prayed the rosary. It doesn't matter how much you've done. I don't know you, but you weren't aware. You weren't aware until it was too late.
Yes.
Blindsided. Blindsided by judgment. Wow. That's got to be a wake-up moment.
Yeah.
You finally open your eyes and the fog clears and you see God clearly and you see your sin clearly and you got nothing to cover it. And you have no advocate to take your side. It's too late. Judgment's come and you weren't aware till it's over. That's a scary thing. You've heard the saying, what you don't know won't hurt you. I don't know who came up with that, but he ought to die in infamy. That is nonsense. What you don't know certainly can hurt you. In fact, you better not be so negligent as to not find out everything you can find out about what you're putting your family through. You need to find out about your religion. You need to find out about your philosophies. You need to find out about your seminary professor or your academic professor in college. Maybe they don't know what they're talking about. Maybe they spend their weekends smoking weed. You don't know.
Right.
You ought to find out.
Amen.
There's a bunch of liars in the world.
Amen.
How is it possible you come to the day of judgment and had no clue? You're standing in a line there and you say, "What? Why are we in line?"
Yeah.
You're going to be judged.
Yeah.
Oh, what? I'm telling you, it's like a pop quiz. You weren't aware, but you didn't study. And you haven't been paying attention in class, and you're not that bright. You're in trouble.
Yeah. Amen.
You know something that's really interesting here to me is that God allowed this to happen.
Yep. Yes.
Yep.
I imagine we could say God set it up this way, because not much happens without God's approval. God does whatever he wants, and God set it up so that people were going to be judged blindsided. Boom. Now you're judged. And you say, well, that's not fair. Don't you have to give me a little bit of warning? Don't you have to tell me beforehand? And that's, I guess some of you teachers would know that. A pop quiz is that exactly, right? You don't want them to know beforehand. It's done on purpose. You give them a pop quiz to find out where they actually stand on their own motivation. Not where they just study up for an exam and try to squeak through, but no, you want to know how well you've been teaching these lazy kids. Right? So you give them a pop quiz, and there's no warning whatsoever. You just show up, and there's a paper on your desk, and you're going to take this quiz. We're going to find out how much you know. And it becomes a real determinant of how much you've been learning, how much you've figured out over the time you've been studying, how much you've accumulated in knowledge. Right? That's a real test. But if there's a warning beforehand, then it's not a real test. Because people will do things that they aren't really sincere about. And they will pretend and they will figure some things out. And I mean, people are great at manipulating and moving around and disguising themselves and masquerading and all kinds of things when there's been a warning. And a whole lot of people will repent the day after. But are they truly repentant or are they just sorry they got caught? I'm thinking God did this on purpose. He blindsided them. Even if Noah, being a preacher of righteousness, preached faithfully and in a loud voice and maybe even with a megaphone and did everything he could to tell people judgment is coming, and he did his best to not look like an idiot, which is hard, by the way, when you're that real outlier. Try preaching on the street sometime. Just go downtown with the bus stops with me or in front of the Alamo. Stand out there and preach and see if you can do it without looking a little bit foolish.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard.
Yeah.
I really appreciate Matt St. Arno. Sometimes he puts on these boards in front and back. You know, the end is coming or something like that. I mean, if you're going to look foolish, you might as well just go ahead and look foolish. Oh, Chicken Little, the sky's falling, the sky's falling. Why not? But if Noah did everything he was supposed to do, and he preached righteousness the whole time, saying, you better repent, you better get yourselves right with God, you better stop living the way you're living. And you know, we do have information in the book of Genesis about how they were living. The Bible says the earth was filled with violence. And if you don't punish crime, your earth will be filled with violence.
Amen.
And I'm saying that for the benefit of our district attorneys
yeah.
here in San Antonio
yeah.
and our police chief.
Amen.
I'm saying that for his benefit too. And I'm saying it for the benefit of all those city council members and our Texas legislature and even our national legislature. If you don't punish crime, it will grow on you. And that's what happened back in the day. And it was God that did it. You remember Cain killed his brother Abel.
Yeah.
And not only did God not punish him, which he probably ought to have, and I'm not second guessing God. God is God and I am nobody. But it seems to me like it needed to be punished, and he wasn't punished. But not only that, God said, don't anybody else punish him.
Yeah.
Took away out of the man's hands, took away out of our hands the ability to punish crime, so we could not even avenge the murders that happened. What do you think is going to happen to the world? It's going to get filled with violence. If there is impunity after you kill someone, the world will fill with violence. Somebody's going to get back. Somebody's going to make a payback. Somebody, and folks, every one of you has it in you. You have that sense of grievance, and you have a sense of grudge, and you have a sense of revenge, and you want it to be paid back. And if we have a government that does its job, we can somehow hold on to ourselves and not commit the vengeance ourselves, and we'll let the government do it. But when the government stops doing it, what's going to happen? Everybody's going to take it into their own hands. That is what's going to happen, and it is what is happening in many cities in this country. People are going to take vengeance into their own hands. And I probably am one of them. If I don't think there's any possibility of this guy getting stopped, then I'll probably stop him. I'm old enough not to lose that much. And I'm being serious, by the way. I'm serious about this. There is a sense of righteousness in our hearts that says this evil must stop. But then if I kill that person, somebody's going to come and kill me. And if somebody kills me, then somebody's going to go and kill that person. And where does it stop? It stops when judgment is done through law. And that's why when after the flood, after all this that we're talking about, this judgment that came from God and blindsided all these people, after that, God set up human government. He said, now if anybody kills, then you let the avenger of blood go and kill that person. He set it up so that it can be done lawfully. That is the institution of human government. And it's a very important thing. But it says so about that time period that violence had covered the earth. It also talks about crazy fornication. Read Jude. It tells you that it was fornication. Fornication in those days. And even involved angels, or what the Bible calls sons of God, creations of God. I don't know what kind of creatures these were. Doesn't say angels, but it says some kind of creature of God, sons of God, and that they also cohabited with these fair women. And because of this crazy fornication, I mean, the world had gotten truly sick and evil.
Right.
And I don't know if you realize how close we are to those kinds of days now, that our world is getting more evil every day. And the influence of righteousness is diminishing every day. And the nonsense of this philosophical bias and against God and against the Bible and against Christ and against all decent living people, what we might call normal people, normal families, everything's going against it. And what's going to happen is this world is going to get worse and worse until judgment's going to come. And there will come a time when God will stop warning. And then you get blindsided. Surprise. Boo. There's a guy downtown where we preach at the bus stops. You can look right over the bridge sometimes. He's a guy, he dresses in a, he's like in a tree suit. He sits in a pot and he looks like a bush. And the tourists walk by. And as they're walking by, he stands up real fast and they about lose it. Right here in San Antonio. You can see it on the internet. Go onto YouTube and look up the Texas Bushman. It is hilarious. I've watched him do it. While Roland's preaching, I'm looking over the side of the bridge. Surprise. Boo. Your heart just leaps right out of your chest. It's a bad feeling. And of course, then the relief that it wasn't an actual tree person trying to eat you or an ogre from under the bridge. You start laughing, and that's the whole point of the videos. They want to see you laughing after you just about killed yourself. They had one time when a guy did that, and then he had something that he foamed in his mouth. He faked it, and he fell over and started foaming at the mouth. And this poor fella, his name is Joe, he thought he had killed somebody. He thought he was call 911, whatever. And then the guy wipes it all off, says, "I got you back." I don't like these kind of surprises. And I do worry somebody's going to have a heart attack when that happens, you know. It's going to happen. Hey, get blindsided. And God allowed that to happen. Maybe God even set it up that way. And maybe God is setting you up that way. Even if Noah had done his job and preached righteousness throughout all those decades, throughout all those centuries, and preached righteousness and warned of the rain and warned of the judgment and warned of God's anger and warned of what the Bible tells you that your conscience agrees with, your conscience knows it's wrong, and all of these things, if Noah had done everything exactly right and told everybody he could tell, somebody was still not going to know. Somebody was still going to be blindsided. Now, it might be true that some of those people there were just ignorant, or I should not say ignorant, they were rejecting. They were contemptuous. They were scorners. They would call him names. They would mock him with cruel mockings like they do people today that preach this type of stuff. But there were some people there that were just plain unaware. There were some people there afar off that had never heard him preach and never had any reason to pay any attention to any of it. Because the Bible says they were giving in marriage, they were having harvests, they were doing their jobs, they were working. It wasn't even talking about all the bad things they were doing. They were just living life normally. It was going on, and there was some prosperity. I mean, there was some transactions being done, and people were optimistic. You don't get married if you're not optimistic. You're optimistic. You're getting married. You're giving your daughter in marriage. You're having parties. You're enjoying life. It looks good. Oh man, it's looking up. Boom. Surprise. Yeah. Surprise. No, it's not that great. You had a, I mean, you go out there and look at your harvest. Oh man, the corn is blooming. Oh man, it looks good. Look at the cotton out in the field just is white. Oh, it's white and ready to harvest. My, looking good. Nope. Not going to happen. Not this year. Too late. You lose it all. Blindsided by judgment. Judgment is terribly inconvenient. It comes at an inconvenient time. It never happens on a really perfect time. You know, just everything's finished, got everything done. What? Wasn't that guy that had such a great harvest that he had to build bigger barns? And then judgment came. But his barns weren't finished. It's going to happen to you too. Judgment's going to happen. And it's going to happen when you're not expecting it. And you know, some people, they don't even realize this, but you could be warned all your life and you could be halfway paying attention all of your life, but you just keep on resisting that conscience. You just keep on saying no, no, and you put it off and you put it off. And after a while, your conscience becomes deadened. The Bible calls it seared, as if it's with a hot iron, so that if you put off giving your life to the Lord long enough, then when you think it's time, and you got a little bit of warning, and you think it's time, you will not have an ability to repent of your sins because you've deadened your conscience. You would not be able to shed a tear over the crimes you've committed because you've deadened your conscience. So you just keep putting it off, putting it off, putting it off. Until then, you just lose all sense of a judgment. Maybe some people were surprised by judgment. There may be a reason. Maybe they were surprised. There are some people who just outright, because of a philosophical bias, they outright deny the idea of judgment. I've talked with a number of these people, and I think some of them are relatively sincere, but others of them, I'm sure they're not sincere. I think they're just, I think they hate religion, and I don't want to in any way, confuse those two things. You can be skeptical of religion, and that's not the same thing as having a philosophical bias against God and against judgment. There's a difference there, and that ought to be seen as a difference. I'm skeptical of religion. I think you ought to be skeptical of religion. I don't think you ought to just believe a preacher. That's why we say in this church, we pay attention to the Bible, bring your Bible, check it out, and make sure we're telling the truth. Because you can't trust preachers, and you can't trust priests, and you can't trust Dalai Lamas and other gurus. You can't trust them. They're not trustworthy. You can't trust news anchormen, you can't trust doctors, and you can't trust politicians. Who can you trust? Well, you can trust the Bible. Amen. You can just actually take God at His word and say, okay, God's not going to turn me wrong. So I want somebody to explain the Bible and make sure it's clear that this is what the Bible teaches. That's an important thing in your life. Amen. But some people have a philosophical bias against the concept of justice or judgment or life after death or judgment after death. And they just think, no, 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 we've got this philosophical belief in the nothingness of, in fact, they're just materialists. They don't believe there is a spirit. They don't believe there's right and wrong. It's really nonsense. Their own intuition tells them that that's not the way it is. I believe you as a child knew there was right from wrong. You know the difference. You should not have to be persuaded that such a thing exists. You can tell. Everyone in here makes judgments every single day. You know there's such a thing as right and wrong. But you also know that if there is no judgment, there cannot be any right and wrong. If there's no judgment, there's no right or wrong. It can't be. And yet you know there's a right and wrong. So your own mind is telling you judgment is coming. And why go to that silly extreme of saying, well, it's cosmic justice. It's karma. It's like the universe is going to make things right in the end. No, it's God, the Creator, is going to make things right in the end because He has a demand of us. And the Bible says He's setting you up for judgment. You are being prepared at this moment to be judged. Don't tell me it's a surprise to you. Did you not have parents that would show up after they were gone for a little while? And they'd show up and they'd see what you did? Well, that's preparing you. God preparing you someday that you realize Your heavenly parent is going to show up one of these days, and he's going to see what you did, and you're going to have to give an account for what you did. Judgment is coming. It should not come as a surprise, unless you got a philosophical bias against it, and then you can just deny judgment. You can just deny it all. You can live in hedonism if you want. You can say, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. We're going to die like the mule. But that's not true. And that could happen, that you would show up at that judgment completely unaware because somebody convinced you there was no judgment, that there was no God, that we are all a cosmic accident. Actually, not one cosmic accident, billions and trillions of consecutive cosmic accidents. If that doesn't tell you how absurd that idea is, I don't know what can help you. How about deception? Some people deny the judgment, but some people are deceived. You know, there are people out there saying, you're okay and I'm okay. We're all okay. God's on our side. He's not angry. He's not mad at you. He wants you to live your best life. He wants you to have everything your way. He wants you to be rich. He wants you to be healthy. I don't think I can pull it off. I was trying to do a Joel Osteen imitation, you know. I just don't have the voice for it. God wants your best self. God wants you to present yourself the best way possible. He wants you to have the best experience you could ever have. God is on your side. God's not angry. Don't beat yourself up. Don't be negative. Don't think evil thoughts. Just think good things. Everything's going to be fine. Everybody you meet, they're good people. That's deception, folks. Or somebody say, just cross yourself. Every time you walk in front of a building that has a cross on it, and you'll be okay. Whoa, where does the Bible say that? Oh, you committed adultery, did you? Oh, that's all right, we'll fix it. Say 10 Our Fathers and 5 Hail Marys. For adultery? Wow, that came out cheap. They're deceiving you. You're not okay. Somebody says, oh, you've been baptized. You were a little baby and your parents came and they sprinkled water on you and mumbled some holy words. Now you're okay with God. Everything's fine. You're in the flock. Don't worry about it. Or somebody comes and tells you, oh, you don't have to worry about it now because after you die, you can go to purgatory and just, you know, suffer a little while and then you'll be okay. You'll be let out. Live however you want now, and you can suffer after you die and take care of it all. They're liars, folks. The Bible doesn't talk about purgatory. Purgatory doesn't exist.
That's right.
Jesus said, I would have told you. But he didn't tell us. He didn't mention purgatory. It's a lie. And it's a lie that's so damnable because it allows you to think you're okay. There's no emergency. There's no crisis. You don't have to worry about judgment. You'll get it all taken care of after this life is over. Live it up. Oh, there's a lot of deceit out there that makes people think we're okay. But nothing's worse than these evangelicals on television telling you we're all children of God. God's going to take care of us all. He's not angry at anybody. Hey, he loves everybody. Everybody is his child. And no difference is made. No distinguishment. No way of seeing the difference between someone who is born again and saved and given their life to Jesus and everybody else that has a Sunday Christianity. No emphasis placed whatsoever on true repentance and brokenheartedness and humility coming before God and saying, God, save me. No interest at all in the supernatural born-again experience where you come to know God as your Savior and it changes your life. But they will just tell you everything's okay, everything's fine. Yeah, there's some deception that's going to cause some people to be blindsided by a God that's angry. And it's not just anger. The Bible calls it fury. And it's not just fury of a God. It's fury of an almighty God. And it's not just fury of an almighty God, but one that has been waiting for centuries to impose judgment. Man, you better wake up. You'd be blindsided by judgment.
Yes.
Blindsided by God saying, here I am.
Yes.
Oh, you get these atheists saying, oh, if God wants, if there's a God, let him show himself to me. He will.
Yeah.
He will.
That's right.
The Bible says you're going to meet him.
Yeah.
But it will be too late. Blindsided by judgment. That's the pop quiz. It comes and you're not ready. Well, there's another thing. Some people are confused by devotion. You see, because they get devoted to certain things. They can become devoted to a religion or they can become devoted to a cause. And that's what I see a whole lot of people. They become very busy in trying to what? Save the planet or save the whales or protect the poor little pets that are out there starving or freezing. I mean, and you can get really involved in this. You get people that give money every single month to make sure there aren't no puppies out there shivering. Or you get people that will go out of their way to get rid of anything plastic. You know, I read an article that was telling about the reason why we have so much plastic floating in the oceans. It's because of our recycling. And I'm telling you, this is an article, it was serious, and I don't have any way of gauging whether it's true or not. I'm just saying this is the article, looked to me like it was written by experts. It said all of these recycling programs, including the one in San Antonio, that if you take your plastic and you put it in that blue thing, what they do is they get all that plastic together. Since there's four or five basic kinds of plastic, they have to be able to distinguish, and you can't just look at them and tell. It's a complicated process to separate all that out, and if they do that, then it costs extreme amount of money. So what they do is they take all the plastics, they put it in huge bins, and they ship it overseas in order to be taken care of over there. But overseas, they have a whole lot of corruption. And what they do is they just take these things and they just dump it over the edge of the river. And so all that plastic that you've been putting in those blue cans goes floating out to sea. And it winds up in a huge area in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Not in the Atlantic, in the Pacific. Figure out why. Because that's where the rivers come out of Asia. It gets dumped into the Pacific Ocean, and that's where it accumulates. You know why you're drinking microplastics all the time? Because you recycle. If you just put it in the landfill, you'd be okay, and our oceans would be cleaner. Don't quote me on that. People get all worked up over democracy. We're going to have democracy. Oh, we're going to put democracy in Iraq. We're going to put democracy in the Ukraine. We're going to put democracy in Russia. Oh, we're going to solve the problems. Oh, boy, you got some causes that distract you from the truth. And you don't realize judgment is coming. You're worried about the poor little shivering puppies. And you are on the brink of being judged by God. Is it possible that you've gotten yourself so devoted to some cause that you forgot the only cause that matters? And that's serving God.
Amen.
And knowing God.
Amen.
Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he knoweth me,
yes,
saith God. That's right. Well, there's another one. We could call it dissolution. That is where people live for the pleasure of the moment. Hedonism. We just give ourselves to pleasure and entertainment and thrills. That's what we live for. It's football season. One more week. We can be distracted. We can just live it up. Entertainment, just fill me with pleasure. Because I don't want to think about judgment. I don't want to think about God. I don't want to think about right and wrong. I don't want to think about what an evil person I am and what I can do about it. I don't want to think about self-improvement. I certainly don't want to think about what the Bible says. I go to church and I'm bored out of tears. My goodness, I want to go somewhere where it's entertaining. Don't tell me about God. Tell me about the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Just live it up. Go from party to party. I'm amazed. And this is real. This is a real thing. People distract themselves with all kinds of things, entertainment and thrills and all kinds of enjoyable things that just don't bore them. And I can't criticize people who are bored with religion, because boy, have I been bored in church. And not this church. I'm not trying to criticize anybody here, but I've been to other churches and whoa, we saw one of those little skits done by Mr. Bean. I don't know if you guys know that guy. He's a British actor. He's got a really funny face. Well, he did this skit where he goes to church. It was an Anglican church, a high Anglican church, and they're all saying, and then you hear the preacher up there. I guess he's a preacher. You never see him, but he's somebody up there, and his words are like, and he's trying to stay awake, and you see his face. It is true, folks. It's true. I've been to churches just about like that. Oh, my goodness. Give me some Novocaine or something. Let me go to sleep. I don't blame you if church bores you, but God better not bore you. The Bible shouldn't bore you. The Day of Judgment shouldn't bore you. Right and wrong shouldn't bore you. You better wake up, because you can get distracted so much that the judgment will come and blindside you.
Yeah. Amen.
Boom! Too late! You're going to have a heart attack over it. What are you talking about? It's happened now! The Bible says the world is going to end. And you get so devoted, we're going to save the planet. Yeah, you'll save the planet from nuclear holocaust, but you're not going to save it from God.
Right.
You might be able to save the world from plastic if you'd stop recycling, but you're not going to save it from judgment. Judgment is coming. Don't let it take you unawares. Don't. The Bible says we're not in darkness that day should overtake us. We're not in darkness. We're awake. We've seen the end. We see what the Bible says. We've embraced what God says about right and wrong. We see that there's a solution. Jesus Christ made a way to save sinners. And we give ourselves to it wholly and without reservation. We're all yours, God, all yours.
Amen.
Teach us. How should we walk? How should we go? What should we do? What do you want us to do? Go to church? I'll go. Go to church. Yeah, pray. I'll pray. What do you want us to do? Read the Bible? I'll read the Bible. I'll read it till I know it so well that nobody can fool me. You see, because it's a matter of being interested enough in God that He will not blindside us in any way. We're going to know. We're going to know. We'll be aware. But a whole lot of people are not going to be aware. It's going to come upon them suddenly. Jesus says it'll happen just like in the days of Noah, when the flood came and they didn't know until it was too late and it took them all away. They were not aware. Are you aware? Now maybe you're here and you have not given your life to Jesus. You've not had that experience with Him. You haven't made that decision yet. You're still on the fence. Maybe you're skeptical. Maybe you're still a little bit confused by that philosophical bias. You're not quite sure. I don't know where you stand. But I can tell you this. If you've been convinced by God that judgment is coming and you want to prepare yourself for that day, you can take care of that today.
Amen.
It's as simple as making a deal with God, giving God your sin and letting Him give you His righteousness.
Amen.
And so that Jesus would say in that day, this one I know. He won't say, I never knew you. He'll say, this one I know. He came to me on sudden such a day. And He said, God, I'm tired of running from You. And now I give my life to You. He says, this one here I know. She repented of her sins and she said, God, save me. And I saved her. And that one over there, he was the one that was hanging on the cross. And he said, remember me, Lord, when You come in Your kingdom. And I said, sure, You're going to be today with me in paradise. Because Jesus receives them all. It'll be like that one over there. He'll say, I knew her. She was an adulteress. Caught in the very act. And I didn't condemn her. That's what He'll say. He says, whosoever shall confess Me before men, him will I confess before My Father which is in heaven. And if he confesses you before God in heaven, that's enough.
Amen.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
If you have that, you're ready for the judgment. You can stand before God, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, standing in His righteousness with no condemnation whatsoever. Why? Because Jesus Christ did that for His own.
Amen.
You come to Me, He says. Come to Me and I will give you eternal life.
Amen.
And you will never perish. And no man can pluck you out of My hand.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
You can have it if you want it. Let's stand and let's sing number one in the hymn book. Number one in the hymn book. You might have something to get right with God, and if you do, you can do that. You are absolutely can get something right with God. Number one in the hymn book. Sing it like you mean it.
Amen.
Let's raise the roof and praise God.
Amen.